And take our Bibles and turn to Numbers. It's time to take that Bible and turn to Numbers. We were talking 2 weeks ago about Balaam, the son of Beor. And what worries me is, as I've been studying, I think I'm going to hit on this in both services this morning. What worries me about today's Christian is not that they're in the world. Boy, that sounds weird coming out of my mouth. What worries me about today's Christian is that they don't realize that they're in the world. Let me say that again. It's not that I worry that you're in the world. My worry is you don't realize you are. My worry is you don't understand that you are. My worry is that and this man lived at this time, and this is just my personal opinion about Balaam. And I'll show you at the very end what Balaam was called over in Joshua. But you must understand this. I believe this man was in two different worlds, in two different places, trying to live both ways. I believe he allowed the world to come into his life, and maybe he didn't even realize it was there. Maybe he didn't even realize what he was doing. Maybe he didn't even realize he was doing wrong. You know, what's amazing to me is that a lot of Christians today, because the pulpits have grown so lackluster and the culture of TV today has gotten so amazingly part of our life. I mean, it's hours and hours devoted to that type of thing. I think that we've become callous to what godliness really is. I think we've become callous to what serving Christ really is and living a good life really is. You may not agree with that, and boy, this is not going over well already. I can tell that this morning. And you may look at me and you may say, well, preacher, I'm tired of hearing about it. But that's the preacher's job. That's our job. Because I'm going to tell you, there's no joy out there in the world. Your TV set's not where you're going to find joy. And I understand. I get it. I watch TV. I watch the ball games. I understand. I'm with you. But there's no joy there, especially if you're a Cleveland sports fan. Good night. But beyond that, I know that's a joke, but beyond that, as I look at this man and I watch him, God is speaking through him at times. God is talking to him at times. God is using him at times, even though Balaam is ignoring what God has said at times. And I know he's the only one, right? I mean, he's the only one that's ever ignored what God has said. And here he is ignoring what God has said, doing and kind of bending the rules. I'm going to be honest with you. I would to God we'd get a group of Christians that would stop trying to bend the rules of godliness. Stop trying to bend the rules and get around things. And I'm guilty of this too. Just try to, you know, do what God wants you to do. How difficult is it that we don't want to do what God wants us to do, so we justify the things that we are doing that God does not want you to do. We justify them. By the way, you can justify anything you want. You're good at it. There's one thing we're good at. It's making excuses for why we do what we do. Aren't you glad I'm back? Praise the Lord. See, it's amazing to me that we as Christian people will look at Balaam and say, man, that guy was an idiot. That guy rode his donkey straight at an angel of the Lord. By the way, the angel of the Lord was then made an adversary to him. I know we went over this last week, but I want to hit on this one more time. What part of our life are we where God becomes an adversary to us? I don't think God is amused. I don't think God is... He's all forgiving and all merciful. Please don't misread me, but I don't think he's amused. I don't think he's happy about the lackluster Christianity that we have and the willing to, oh, preacher, come on, everybody's doing it. The shows that are on the TV today are just ridiculous. Every show that your babies are watching, I'm going to tell you, you ought to turn the TV off for your kids. Because every show that you got on the TV today, you got teenagers that are acting like they're adults and telling the adults to act like teenagers. I fight a battle. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a parent today, you're fighting a battle for your children's lives. In this battle that you're fighting for your children's lives is not going to be won on a TV set where the teenagers are going to be able to go against the parents. The teenagers talk to the parents like the parents are dumb. How many of your kids have ever talked to you like you're foolish? I don't have enough hands. You mean your children talk? Yeah, my children act like they know everything, just like I did and just like you did when you were kids. But the TV shows are now taking that to a different level. The TV shows are now telling the children, you don't have to listen to your parents. Your parents are dumb. I might be dumb, but you're going to listen to me. See, we live in this day and age where we've got one foot in the world and maybe even a couple of toes on the other foot. In the world, and then the other side of us wants to serve God. I got news for you. Your flesh is going to win that battle. I got to be honest with you. You go 50-50, the flesh wins that battle. And as I look at this man and we study about this man, the Lord uses him even through his, in spite of his stupidity, in spite of his ignorance of God, in spite of him going against the things that God would have him to do, he still uses him. But his demise is not surprising. We studied him last week. We talked about him living in the wrong place. If you're going to do something for God, do your living on God's terms. Don't do your living on the world's terms. We talked about him keeping company with the wrong people. I cannot express to you enough how important it is to hang around the right crowd. Listen, quit pussyfooting with other church members. I heard no amens. All right, we'll stay right there then. I get a little tired of we can't make it to a Bethel service, but we'll make it to every service somewhere else. Go join that church then. I get a little sick and tired of going running with churches that you know don't believe the way we do, but you got no problem going there. Oh, they're nice people. Glory to God. Never said they were mean. Said they're wrong. But you're mature enough spiritually to go ahead and do that, right? I don't think God's amused. We got nice people right here you can hang around with. We got nice people right here. I don't hang around with anybody that's not from my church. I hate to say that. Preachers don't come together and become friends. Do you know why that is? Because we can't agree. Get mad all you want to, but there comes a time when you just can't agree. And it always boils down to the scripture or boils down to, it ought not so to be. But it is. And you'll go ahead and hang around that crowd until they've got your mind thinking that your preacher's not right. They'll get your mind thinking that your Bible's not right. They'll get your mind thinking the Baptist is not right. They'll get you by. They're nice people and they have fun. They have coffee. They have bands. That's where I'd rather be. Well, God's not amused. You can't live both in and out. Can't do it. Resurrection Sunday's coming. We'll be nice then. The Lord speaks to him. Thou shalt not curse my people. Balaam is offered high promotion from man. He says, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. But he does. I can't go beyond the word of the Lord. But he does. Numbers 22, this is all review. God still speaks to him though. And if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. And I talked about this. The Lord says, if the men come to call thee, go ahead and go with them. See, there's a lot of people mess this up. If you look at verse 20 in chapter 22, God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up. God is very specific about his word. That's why I'm so crazy about you having the word of God and obeying the word of God, the King James Bible. Very important. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. Then a lot of preachers say, I don't understand why God was mad. Well, get ready. Look at this. Look at what this says. You read with me. Look at what this says. I'm going to teach you something today, Marie. You're going to be happy about that. Aren't you glad you came? The Lord says, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. Is that not what it says right there in that verse 20? Can I ask you a question? If you look at verse 21, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Does it say anywhere in that verse that they came to call him? There it is, the light bulb. See, well, this is the thing, Marie. When God tells you to do something, he's not hoping that you do it. He's desiring that you do it, demanding that you do it. And if you don't do it the way God said, you're doing it wrong. Ain't that something? Yeah. Yeah, reading I can do. Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab, and God's anger was kindled because he went. He went without God's permission. He went outside of what God had said. I even took you a moment into Jericho. Remember I talked about that, where the men were marching around the building, and all the walls came down, glory to God. But what happens is on that last day when they're supposed to go around seven times, what happens if they only go around six? God didn't say six. God said seven. And if you don't go around seven, you can blow the trumpets and holler all you want, but the walls are going to stay up. Why? Because you didn't do what God said. See, here's Balaam. I want to go with the men. Let me tell you, you know why I know Balaam wanted to go with the men? Do you know why I know it was Balaam's great desire to have great honor? And I'm so sick and tired of men seeking honor. It makes me want to throw up. I'll show you here a verse that absolutely, it is encompassing the vast majority of Christian servants today. Just a little bit if we ever get to it. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm so sick and tired of men seeking out men's honor. I'm so sick and tired of men desiring to be up on this podium getting their back slapped. I'm so sick and tired of men, I got to have this position, I got to have this title. You're pathetic. I'm just, hey, this is what I've been off for 2 weeks. This is pathetic, the way that men live their lives today, desiring to have other men say how great they are. I'm a sinner, saved by grace, and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing more. And by the way, news flash, so are you. How many men have walked through these doors and walked right back out again saying, I cannot say because the preacher doesn't praise me enough? Huh? How many men have walked in these doors and walked right back out because Brother Dave doesn't hold them up as something great? You know what? God doesn't hold you up as anything great either. And if you seek to have men's applause, the auditorium will be silent. If we look at this, and here it is, Balaam seeking out. How do I know that Balaam is seeking out men's praise? Because he went with them. It was his desire, because you do what you want to do. You do what you want to do. Don't talk to me about I don't do. I do things a lot that I don't want to do. Baloney. You do it because you want to do it. If you didn't want to do it, you wouldn't do it. Praise the Lord. Profundity is running rampant in this building this morning. The men never called. Balaam got what he wanted. He got up and went. God's anger is kindled. And then we go over this next few, and you've heard millions of messages, I'm sure, preached about this, about him riding his ass and his ass speaking, and he starts to be mad and all these other things. But Balaam's way, I want you to look at verse 32. This is what God thinks. And I want you to understand, this is where I'm at. I'm a little bit ornery this morning, only because I want our church and our people to go forward, and you're not going to go forward if you continuously do not what God wants you to do. Look at this now. Verse 32, the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee. Why? Because thy way. Whose way? Balaam's way. It wasn't God's way. You say, well, wait a minute. God told him to rise up. No, God never did. God told him to rise up only if the men come to call him. Men never came to call him. So it's not God's way. It's Balaam's way. Balaam is the one doing it. And now his way is what? It's perverse. Thy way, his way, Balaam's way is perverse before me. You're going to do things for God on your terms? That way is perverse. I'm just reading what the Bible says. Take it up with the author. You're going to do things outside of what God wants you to do? I promise you it's perverse before him. By the way, there's not a person in this room who hasn't done anything perverse before God. I'm not talking about that type of perverse. I'm talking about your way, the things you want to do for God. You're going to do it on your terms. You're going to do it the way you want to do. How many times have you talked to somebody, oh, we're all going to meet God someday, and it's going to be on my terms. It's not going to be on your terms. It's going to be on God's terms. I think we pussyfoot with it too much. I think we kowtow too much. I just did a funeral yesterday, and these people say, well, glory to God. I'm just glad that God saves all of us. No, He does not. He died for everybody, but not everybody gets saved. I get a little bit aggravated how much the world has infiltrated our churches. And the ass saw me. It's amazing to me. The ass saw me. And turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me. Surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. This is it. He didn't even realize he was going the wrong way. Yeah. I thought of a statement. I think I even said the statement in here. What message would it take? What statement? What verse? What would it take for us to do things God's way? Think about that for a moment. I'm talking to me, by the way, not just you. What would it take for us to start doing things God's way? Because here's the thing. He's doing what He wants to do. It's wrong. And He doesn't even see that He's doing wrong. Just like Marie asked that question, why was God mad? I got to believe Balaam said, well, wait a minute, why are you mad? You told me to go. No, God didn't. These preachers saying, go out sowing and take an NIV with you if you want. It's all whatever. That's not God's way. God's word is God's way. It's amazing to me that independent fundamental Baptist churches are starting to do this to get more people to come out to go soul winning. How does that get more people to come out and go soul winning? You'll come out and go soul winning the minute you want to come out and go soul winning. See, it's amazing to me, and here we are at summertime, now the winter's gone, and we have no more excuse. I wonder if we're going to do things God's way. I wonder if we're going to do things the way the Lord would have us to do it. And boy, Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Well, I'm telling you of the sound of my voice in this microphone that God's not happy with how we do things. Not here as the Bethel as a church. I think we're going in the right direction, but our people need to get behind us too. And I think, by and large, our people are fantastic. But I think that this needs to be talked about. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. It's like sitting in a meeting with your preacher, and preacher tells you that pornography is really not art. I've had people say that. The human body is fantastic. It's just art. No, it's sin. No, it's sin. I was never more mortified than taking the kids to the natural art museum or whatever it was. You think museum. It never even dawned on me. You walk in the museum and all of a sudden you see six kids gathered around a statue. And I went, what in the world? Because anytime kids are gathered, it's either a fight going on or something bad. You know, there's never anything good when kids are gathered. Oh, run! Run! Well, that's art, preacher. It's not art, it's sin. What kind of sick pig would sculpt a naked person? What kind of sick pig would paint a naked person? The depraved man that wants to sit there and watch a woman naked in front of him and paint. Well, that's art, not sin. It's sin. Well, you're treading on Da Vinci and Michelangelo and all. Yeah! Let me ask you a question. You want your babies to go to the museum now? To see art? Shoot, some of you men in this room might have art shoved under your bed. You know, it's amazing to me how we live in the world and out of the world, and we can justify anything we want to justify. And here's Balaam trying, if it displease thee, I'll go ahead and stop. Let me tell you, a preacher will come across the desk at you say that. Preacher, if you're not happy about me watching pornography, I'll go ahead and stop. You ought not be happy. You ought to be the one that's upset. You ought to be the one that's mad. You ought to be the one that wants to stop. Why in the world do you need him to tell you to stop sinning? If it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men. But only the word, listen to this now, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. If you go down, and we're going to have to skip some of this. Balak gets Balaam to this high place. This high place was an offering, a place of Baal. And he takes him up to these altars. Balaam then requires him to go ahead and offer 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And then he will go into this other place because at least for that moment, he didn't want to be at the altar of Baal. He wanted to go seek God's face. It's going to be very difficult to find God's face when you're at the wrong altar. So he goes to this place alone, and God tells him, you're not going to curse the Jewish people. Boy, that's a revelation. God said that to him now like 3 times. He could have stayed home and done this. He could have stayed home and taken care of this. Do you see him spinning his wheels? Let God be true and every man a liar. If God says don't do it, then just end it right there. You know what? I can't do it. But he goes with him, and he's seeking this praise of men. And God tells him, so he goes back and tells Balak, you know what, I can't do it. Balak says, okay, let me take you to another place. He's pretty persistent. He takes him to another place, says, hey, okay, offer 7 bullocks. A lot of animals are dying needlessly here right now. Of course, they might have a great barbecue after, I don't know. But at this time, bullocks and rams are dying everywhere, and it's unnecessary because God's not going to change his mind. He says, God, what do you think? God says, you shall not curse them. Matter of fact, now you're going to start to bless them. Boy, that makes Balak mad. Well, this is my enemy. I hired you and wanted to give you great honor and promotion because I want you to curse these people. Do it my way. God says, no, these are my people. I love them. And you're not going to do these things. 3rd time comes through. Boy, he does it again. 7 bullocks, 7 rams. If you look at verse 29 of chapter 23 of Numbers, Balak said unto Balaam in 27, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee into another place. Peradventure, it will please God that thou mayest curse me from thence. Curse me them from thence. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he said his way to seek for, excuse, so do, what, what? We'll tell you who he is here in a minute. But he set his face towards the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of the lime aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. All of a sudden now, he's blessing them. This does not make Balak very happy. Verse 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Now, I've got to be honest with you, and this is, again, you know, if you're running with the crowd that's asking you to do things against what God has said, why would you hang around three times? Why would you hang around two times? If there's one time, fine. It happens. There should never be two. Because if they're going to take you away from what God wants you to do, why would you want to be with them? You say, well, wait a minute. God told him to go. No, God never did tell him to go until he was already gone. See, he made this choice long time. God's long-suffering. And yes, he made a mistake, and God can still work good out of your mistakes. Thank God for that. But wouldn't it be great if we just, when God says something to you, don't make the mistake. Do what God said. Verse 11. Chapter 24, therefore, this is Balak speaking to Balaam, now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor. Look at this now. But lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. I want you to see that one more time. Therefore, now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor. But lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Well, I got to be honest with you. That is true. The Lord did keep him back from honor, from the honor of men. You know, it's amazing to me as this transpires, as we go through these things, God uses this person, and we're going to turn to Joshua here in a second, who I believe was half in, half out with God's service. I believe that he knew the Lord. Maybe not a saved man, but he knew the Lord. And he might have been a saved man. I tell you, it's difficult to say. Because God is using him in this way and working through him in this way. But I've got to be honest with you. What makes me sick in this instance is that somebody who had the opportunity to help Balak to understand. If he wanted to help Balak to understand and say, Balak, I'm not coming, I'm not doing this, I can't go outside of God's word, I can't do what God has not allowed me to do, yet he still does it. And it's amazing to me, if you see me preaching in the altar and I'm preaching against alcohol, you better hope that I never have alcohol in my mouth. Why? Because I lose all accountability, I lose all respect, how can I do it? And I know we're all sinners. I understand that. But you know what? I get a little bit tired of using your liberty that God has given you as a crutch to walk around in sin. It bothers me that we can't fill this building for Sunday school. You say, well, preacher, you preach too hard. I think we ought to keep preaching hard. Sorry. We live in a world that has more complications in it now than it's ever had before. More enemies now than it's ever had before. The independent fundamental Baptists are fading fast. Why? Because we're against everything. Well, then maybe, preacher, you ought to go along with the crowd. I don't want to go along with the crowd. I don't want to go along with the crowd. I want to raise some children that know what it's like to serve God for real. What it's like to go through the hardships of their life and have Christ to lean on. What it's like to serve God for your life and be the happier for it. Here's Balaam, given a grand opportunity, filled with the world in his life, filled with it. God has kept back honor from you. God is, boy, that's a cry you hear all the time. Why would you want to serve God? There's no fun in that. Why would you want to serve God? That's the honor's taken away. Boy, the honor's going to be taken away. Dr. Hiles, he met with a man, I believe it was Elvis Presley he was talking about. Honest to goodness, I believe Dr. Hiles met with Elvis Presley. And Elvis Presley said, man, as charismatic as you are, some of the, boy, the things that you could do, and instead you're a preacher. Hey, listen, I believe there's a lot of things I could do too. Instead, I'm a preacher. I think I'll just go ahead and keep preaching. Amen. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'm certainly not perfect. I know that. I'm the first to admit that. But I want to do all I can for God while I'm here. Why would we want to take a day off? Why would we want to stop for a moment and agree with, yes, Muslim may be, it's not right. Homosexuality, no, it's not right. Yet there's a time here that he could stand up. Oh, the world has taken away your honor. God's taken away your honor. I was going to give you honor, but because you love God, you can't have any. Hey, listen. When all that garbage was going down in Hammond, Indiana. Oh, boy, don't say Hammond. Boy, whew, whole world crumbles. When all that garbage was going down in Hammond, Indiana, a lot of preachers had to make a choice. A lot of preachers had to make a choice. Do we stay with the Word of God being inspired, or do we listen to what the so-called experts have to say? I got to be honest with you, I don't need an expert. Amen. I don't need an expert. I mean, Dr. Gail Ripplinger is probably the most expert person I know. And I know she stuck with inspiration, but I don't need Gail to stick with the Bible to understand. I'm going to stick with the Bible. I don't need Pastor Skyver to tell me the Bible's inspired. I don't need that. I've already got that. I'm not hanging with the crowd that doesn't believe that. Amen. I don't want to be half in, half out. I don't want to walk with a crowd that's half in, half out. Don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with those that do. I'm going to be honest with you. As Balaam walks with this man, he stayed with him an awful long time. He asked God for enchantments three times. Oh, God. God's not going to change his mind, dummy. And here we are talking about him and watching him. But honestly, isn't that what we're in today? Look at Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 22. I want you to remember that Balak told Balaam to go back to his own place. He certainly didn't go back to God's place. Look at what it says. Joshua chapter 13, verse 22. Balaam also, the son of Beor, that's the guy we've been talking about, the soothsayer. He wasn't known as a great man of God. He was known as a soothsayer. He wasn't known as somebody that talked with God. He wasn't known as somebody that God spoke through. He was known as a soothsayer. Did the children of Israel slay the very children that he blessed, the very children that God spoke through him to bless, the very children that he stood up because of God's word against Balak, those children slayed him with the sword among them that were slain by them. He died amongst the enemy of God. Is that wrong? Am I saying that wrong? This is a man, and boy, preacher, how many preachers do you know that could not come out of that? They just could not come out of that weak, charismatic movement. They couldn't do it. They just couldn't pull away from it. And they died there. I know preacher after preacher that got so involved with off-the-wall things in their ministry, like demonism and talking about revelation all the time and just dealing with that end-time stuff all the time. There's nothing wrong with learning about that. But if that's where you stay, that's where you'll die. Here's this man. Oh, I've got to have companionship. I've got to have honor. Go back to your own place. And he does, knowing, I believe, that God does not want him there. God doesn't want you anywhere but inside an independent, fundamental Baptist church. Doesn't want you anywhere else but there. God might as well be here. There's Balaam, goes back home. You know, this is never more relevant. You can't go back to what you were. Once you get saved, you got to come out from among them and be separate. You got to do it. You got to come out. You're not going to be happy until you do. Quit pussyfooting. Why are you miserable? Because you're still home. Because you're still with them. You went back to where. It's amazing to me. And I know it's difficult to come away from. I know it's difficult to change your life. But Balaam died from the very children that God blessed through him. He died among the world. How many Christian lives have died in the world? How many do you know of right now that are in the wrong place?
Well, they serve in the Lord, preacher.
Not in the right place. It makes a difference. Well, wait a minute, preacher. They're going out sowing 17 times a week. But if you're in the wrong place. Well, they're maybe not doing what God told them to do, but they're doing a good work for God. No, they're not. Unless God told you, is it a good work? Unless God's word is it a good work? Here's Balaam. Oh, boy, he did all these great things. And he was slain by the very children that he blessed. He was slain by the sword, and he was slain by the sword in the midst of the enemies. Did he have to be there? He chose. Huh? Wait a minute now. I'm all done. This is the end. I promise you can't wait. He chose to live there. He chose to be there. He chose to be among the slain. He chose. I'm sure. Do you think that he? Hey, I'm Balaam. I blessed you. They didn't even recognize him. Huh? Maybe never even met him. They slayed him with the rest of the folks. You want to see your Christianity get slain? Go to the bar and witness. Yeah. There you go. You want to see your Christianity get slain? Go to a Christian rock concert. You want to see your Christianity get slain? Keep that country music in your car. You want to see your Christianity get slain? Stay in the world. Go ahead, stay there. But that's where you're going to die. When you learn of Balaam, that's what you learn of. I believe he had the opportunity. I might be wrong here. There's a lot of people a lot smarter than me, but this is what I see here. What I see here is a man that had the opportunity to speak with God and ignored what he said. God is taking great honor from you. You know what? You're right. I'm going to go back home. And he dies a soothsayer. He dies a soothsayer. He dies a soothsayer. He doesn't die a preacher. He doesn't die somebody that stood up for God. He dies a soothsayer. If I'm going to die, I want to die a Christian. If I'm going to die, I want to die a preacher. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die with this Bible held to my chest, and I'm never going to let it go. If I die, that's how I want to go. Amen. I don't want to go surrounded by the enemy. I want to go surrounded by what God would have me do. And I know I'm not great at it, but I want to do it. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this day. Oh God, here we are. In or out, that's the question. Really, it is. In or out. As I watched Balaam's life progress, I watched him disobey you. I watched him ignore you. I watched him get used by you. It's amazing to me, God. You used him. And I watched him go back home. And I watched him die a soothsayer. Slain by the very ones he blessed. Lord, please help us. Help us, Lord, to come out of the world. Help us to be separate. Help us to want to do things for you that you would have us to do by your word, not by ours. I know this is difficult. I know this is not easy. But Lord God, I believe that's what you want out of our lives. I believe you want us to go further. I believe you want us to step up. I believe, Lord, in this day and age, especially at this day and age, Lord, we need to be more diligent, more vigilant. Lord, we've got to be better Christians. Lord, help me to be that. Help me to be that. I don't want to die a soothsayer. I don't want to die somebody that used to be. I want to die a Christian. I want to die a preacher. I want to die one that proclaimed your word. That's what I want to die as. Lord, help us to do just that today. Help us to look to you and not look to men. And Lord, if you take away honor that would be given to men, glory to God. I don't want honor from men. I want honor from you, the greatest, the most high. Who else better to give honor? Lord, please help us today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.